Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. I was looking at a message farther down in 2 Corinthians 1 when the Lord simply redirected my thoughts. We're going to start in verse number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read down to verse number 7. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, down to verse number 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort therewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ also are abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as we are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also of the consolation. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity, for these open doors. Father, for this congregation that's come out this morning, and God, we need to hear from you. I pray, Father, that you would give me clarity of thought. Father, help me to pronounce and to speak the words that you've laid upon my heart. God, help me to say exactly what you've told me to say, and no more, no less. Father, use this passage to be a blessing and an encouragement to us in this time and hour today. We pray for our sister churches around the country, those that are meeting this morning, that God, you'd protect them. Father, those that have adapted to different means of service, we pray that you'd bless their endeavors. And we pray that you'd just get glory and honor out of all that we do here today. Use your word to speak to our hearts, to challenge us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach this morning on the C word. You say, what in the world's a C word? Well, it's the one you've been hearing over and over and over and over again. In fact, it's more than one word. It's the coronavirus is the one C word, and the COVID-19 is the other word for it. I won't go into the Chinese flu word, but at least the COVID and the coronavirus, those two C words have just permeated our society for the last 4 weeks. In fact, I would dare to say that before a month ago, most of us were very unfamiliar with either one of these two terms. But since that time, there is no one that doesn't know about these two words. These things have literally made the world come to a standstill. Can you believe that? I mean, those of you from here know that we were mid-February, we took a trip out to San Diego. And at that time, we were just beginning to hear the rumbles about this sound and about this thing that was coming and all that kind of stuff. That was a month ago. And look where we've come in 1 month's time. Some have laughed or joked about it that our government is telling us all to stay home, watch our televisions, computers, lay on the couch, sit in the easy chair, and wait for our government check to come. The very thing that we've been preaching against folks doing for all these years. Now the government itself is telling us how to do these things and what we ought to do. And without a doubt, this is a very difficult time and a strange time, an unusual time, a time for many of panic. A time of pandemic, a time even for many of paranoia. You say, preacher, why? Well, I don't know about that paranoia. This is pretty serious. Well, it is serious. I'm not belittling that. But I'll tell you what you do. You go into Respex with the 100 or so people that are in there. Or you go to Walmart with the 250 plus people that are in there. Or you go into one of the smaller stores like Dollar General with the 25 in there. You walk in there and simply clear your throat. And you'll clear the store. I mean, everybody is scared. Everybody's worried. Everybody is in a state of shock right now and worried about what's going to happen. You know, some are at one extreme. Well, you know, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. Others are saying this is all a government conspiracy and a hoax to do that, and everybody's just coming from this in all different directions. And what most of us are doing is tuning in every afternoon at 2 o'clock or so for Governor DeWine, watching in the evenings for President Trump and Vice President Pence, and looking for the answers. Waiting for Dr. Michelle Acton, I think her name is, to come on and give us all the scientific proof and the medical proof and the physician's viewpoint. And what we're doing is we're now hunkering down and waiting for the politicians and the physicians to tell us what's going on. Isn't that a sad condition for our country to be in? To be at the mercy, and this is no slam against the politicians or the physicians. They have their positions, they have their jobs. But can I tell you, you know what they keep telling us on the news? They keep saying, we have never faced this before. Science doesn't have the answers, they don't have a cure. The politicians do what politicians do, they throw money at it. Because that's the only thing they know how to do. They're telling us, they told us 2 weeks ago this would be 2 weeks. Now it's 2 weeks later, they're telling it's at least two more weeks. Some are saying it's going to be mid-May. Some are saying it's going to be by the 4th of July. We don't know. We don't know any of those things. Because nobody has ever crossed this bridge before in our society today. But can I tell you something? There is someone that's been through this before. There is someone that this isn't new to. And that ought to be the voice that we're listening to. Again, I'm not disparaging the politicians and the physicians. They're humans and are doing the best that humans can do. But is that our answer? Is that as far as we look? Is that where we go? I think there's someone that's been through the Black Plague, been through polio, been through these different times and ages and looked down from heaven and been brokenhearted about the activities of mankind and concerned about their well-being and most of all their soul safety. And there is someone that's been through this before. And that's the one we should be looking to today. That's why we're here this morning. Because we believe He's the one with the answers. He's the one that can help us. Let's not forsake Him. Let's not fall away from Him. Let's not desert Him. Let's get there. I'm trying to be careful in what I say, but you know when 9/11 happened? America was shocked and the churches were packed. When other things happened, Y2K, the end of 1999, folks were scared to death what was going to happen on January 1st, and churches were packed. And now we're thinking we can do it without God. We're coming up with ways and inventions in technology to, and again, I've tried to be very careful in what I say this morning, but I'm just saddened and brokenhearted. Because I believe that God is the one that's watching from heaven to see how we handle a situation like this, and whether we determine we need Him more than the politicians and the physicians. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. I want to give you two words so you can throw out the coronavirus and the COVID-19. I want to give you two C words today that will give you some hope. Two C words that will get you through difficult times because they've gotten the writer of Corinthians through much harder than what we're going through right now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're looking for C words, so you see if you can find them. Verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Can you find a C word in there anywhere that might help during times of trouble like this? Well, let's move on to verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. Let's trade in two negative C words for two positive C words. And again, please don't misunderstand. I'm not belittling the seriousness of the situation. But let's look to the person who can give us hope. You know, the president himself has come out and made a statement, a hopeful a positive outlook and said he hopes that things are back to normal by Easter Sunday. And he has been criticized and condemned and all that kind of stuff. I appreciate a positive outlook. I really do. I don't think he'll pull it off, but I appreciate a positive outlook. But there's someone we can look to for comfort and consolation when nobody else can give us that. And can you this morning, as we go through these two words and their importance to us, can you take them and let's not just apply them to our current situation? Because obviously the writer of Corinthians, when he wrote these words, comfort and consolation, was not thinking of what we're going through right now. He was thinking of what he was going through back then. You know what he was going through? It tells us farther in 2 Corinthians, in shipwrecks, in fastings, in perils by my countrymen, in perils by the sea, in nakedness, in beatings, in threatenings, in torture, in all these. He's looking at those situations, which we're not facing right now, and he's saying there's someone that can be a comfort and a consolation. The title of my message is simply this morning, Our Comfort and Our Consolation. The difference between the two words, the word comfort is what you get when you're going through it. What you get when you're going through it. Job was going through a very terrible time, was he not? Boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he was wondering what's going on. And he had three friends, quote unquote friends, that came and sat around him. Said, Job, the reason this is happening is because of this, is because of that. And you know what he said to them? He said, miserable comforters are y'all. They weren't giving him any comfort. His friends. The very ones that should have been coming to cheer him up through his difficult time, to encourage him in his difficult time. They're the ones that came and got on him about it. I think it's interesting, and I mentioned this once recently, at the end of the book of Job, God tells those three friends to go to Job and ask him to pray for them, lest something come upon them. And I wonder, it doesn't say it, I wonder if that thing that was going to come upon them was the same thing that came upon Job so that they would learn how to understand it and learn how to have some compassion and some comfort and some consolation. So comfort is what we get when we're going through a trial, a tribulation, whether it's economic, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's personal, whether it's business, whatever it is, we all in our life go through these things. God wants to be our comfort during that time. During that time. Consolation, the second word, is what happens when it's over. Now we get the consolation. I think we misuse this term when we talk about a consolation prize. A consolation prize is for the losers. All right, it's for second place. It's for those that did not win. But this term consolation in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is not that, but it's the benefit received from the suffering or the tribulation or the trial. Aren't you glad to know that after the comfort comes, there is a consolation? Again, using Job as the example, what was his consolation? He went through those 7 days of all that turmoil and all that distress. What was his consolation? When it came out, twice as many sheep, twice as many cattle, twice as many servants. That was his consolation. So right now, what we need in the midst of our trials is comfort. When it's all over, we can look back and receive some consolation as to why it happened and what it produced. And the wonderful thing is, and folks, here's why we need to be challenged in this time, is because when it's all over, we want to look back and say, I did right. I was faithful to God. And now look what God's doing for me. Keep reading your Bibles. Don't give up because it's a tough time. Keep your focus on the Lord. Don't put your focus on other things because they demand and absorb our attention. Go to the right one. Let's look at these two words very briefly, very quickly this morning. First of all, the word comfort. You see it there in verse 3 and 4. It appears 5 times. Either comfort or comforteth or comforted. In verse 3 and 4, then it pops up one more time. We read it down there in verse number 6, comforted. This is the thing. He is our comfort. God is. He is our comfort. Verse number 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comforts. When you're worried, when you're distressed, when you're concerned, when you're confused, you know who to go to? Go to God. That sounds so generic to so many people. But if you've ever experienced God, you know that's not generic. Notice He's the source of our comfort in verse number 3. He's the source of our comfort. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comforts. He's the source of our comfort because His comfort is paternal. Notice it says in verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that term Father with a capital F. It's used in the New Testament over 250 times in reference to God. And really, it's kind of a new term. It's only used once in the Old Testament, and that's back in Isaiah where Jesus is going to be born and be called the Everlasting Father. But in the Old Testament, God was not known to the nation of Israel as Father. Their fathers were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in the New Testament, Jesus introduced something in the Gospels, and that's a term He used about 150 times, and that term was Father. He taught them to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. Do the will of our Father which is in heaven. He emphasized the relationship to His disciples between Himself and us and our Father. If there's anybody that can comfort us right now, it's not the physicians, it's not the politicians, it's the Father. We need to look for our source to our paternal Father. Psalm 103 verse 4 says this, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. When we cry out for help, when we look for rescue, when we want some answers, they're not in Washington, D.C. They're not at the United Nations. They're not in the scientific labs. The answers are in heaven. And only God Himself can help us in the time of our trials. When Paul was out in his shipwreck, when Job was sitting in his boils, no one could have helped him. There was no cure for Job's condition. There was no shot that they could give him. That was something new and unique and unusual. It was put on him by the devil, by the way. And he had to endure that and be comforted, although there was no one to comfort him. I've said this many times. Sometimes the greatest comfort you and I can give for somebody is just to sit with them and not say a word. For many days, Job's three friends did that and everything was fine. It wasn't until they opened their mouths and tried to put the blame on Job that all the trouble began. Be careful. Let's be careful. All of us be careful. Not putting the blame. Not putting the responsibility. Not pointing fingers at one another. Saying we're holier than thou. We're more righteous than others. But let's look to the God of all comforts. The Apostle Paul in his church epistles used the term Father over 50 times to emphasize our relationship with the God that's in heaven. See, to the world, He's just, and I don't mean this flippantly, the big guy upstairs. He's just the grand designer or the architect or whatever it is. But to you and I, He's Father. And that leads me to the second point here. Not only is it paternal, but it's personal. Notice in verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in that hour. I'm glad that I'm in that O-U-R. Because He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is addressing the church at Corinth. And he's telling that body of believers that He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I explain to you, if you don't know already, He's not the Lord of everybody till they receive Him as their Savior. We're not all children of God because of creation and birth into this world. Galatians says we're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so to handle a trial or a tragedy, man, it's a lot better to know the Father. All down through the ages, with all the trials and tribulations, just living in this world day to day. Take away the current problem. But just living in a sin-cursed world every day of our life, I can't imagine living it without Jesus Christ. I can't imagine living it without the Bible. I can't imagine living it without the relationship with the Father that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a very personal thing. Paul said to those, the ones that are going to be able to find comfort, the ones that will receive consolation, are those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. What a prime, opportune time right now we have to introduce other people to Jesus Christ. I have heard, and I praise the Lord for it, that in this era right now of social media and many churches live streaming their services and neighbors inviting neighbors to watch the live stream of their churches, that people are watching that. I've heard testimony. One preacher friend yesterday gave a testimony of a couple getting saved because their neighbor told them to watch their church live stream, and they watched it and they were able to use an open door to lead them to Christ. What a wonderful time when people are worried, when people are in fear, to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. To show them there's a God in heaven that understands and is watching over us, and though times might get tough and might get tougher, when we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we don't fear. We don't worry like the world does. We don't panic. The source of our comfort, it's paternal. It's personal. I'm going to give you a Scrabble word now. It's plenary. And that's a real word. We talk about the plenary inspiration of Scripture. What does plenary mean? It means whole or entire. When we say the plenary inspiration of Scripture, we're talking about every word is inspired by God. That's what plenary means. It means whole or entire. And you know what it says at the end of verse number 3? He is the God of all comfort. The whole thing. In fact, verse number 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. That word all shows us that our God is a God that can comfort us in trials, in tribulations, in pain, and in suffering, in economic hardships, in personal hardships, in business problems, and we're all experiencing all those things all at one time right now here in the United States of America. And yet in the midst of all those things, there's someone that can give comfort, and that someone is God. It's a whole, entire ability to help us and to be with us at this time. He is the source of our comfort. When you're at home, under the restrictions placed, you can fellowship with God. You can commune with Him. You can talk to Him. You can pray with Him. Unusual things are happening in our day. I'm getting text messages and emails and all that of prayer conferences being held at 8:30 in the evening, preachers online and praying with one another, some being held in the daytimes on Fridays and this and that. That's all wonderful stuff, but and in the back of my mind, it's still there. Isn't it a shame that it takes this for that to happen? Why couldn't we have done that all the time? Well, it couldn't be done until the churches were shut down. Now we'll turn to other means. Why don't we just add that? Why don't we make that a permanent addition to all these things? Because the God of heaven is the one that can help us in this time. He is the God of all comfort. He is the source of our comfort. Secondly, when we think about Him being our comfort, not only is He the source, but He's the strength of our comfort. Look at verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know why God allows trials and tribulations? This is the age-old question. People have asked it forever. Why do the righteous suffer? Why do the righteous suffer? I remember a book that was written when bad things happen to good people. And this has been a mystery of life that's tried to have been answered by people down through the ages. And I believe Paul answers it right here in verse 4. You know why bad things happen to good people? You know why the righteous suffer? So that they can at one time comfort others when they go through the same thing. You know what you and I need to do? We need to learn to have compassion and be a comfort to other people when they go through things that we don't understand. Here's our knee-jerk reaction. When somebody goes through something we don't understand, we're quick to judge them. Well, why did they do this? Or why did they do that? Or why did they react this way? Or why did they react that way? You know what I've learned? Be careful, because God might show you why they did that by putting you through the same thing. Example, Job's three friends. Learn to have compassion. Learn to have care. Learn to have comfort. Sit down with somebody that's going through something we don't understand and be a comfort to them, lest we have to go through it so we can be a comfort to them. Help them out. Out there working one day, 2 years ago, you remember it was 2016 that I had my roller skating accident and busted up both of my knees, and that was a period of life that I choose to try to forget as best as I can. The surgery, the rehab, the nursing home, the wheelchair, the walker, the challenges of even coming up on the platform, all that stuff. 2016. I'm glad that's 4 years ago. But in 2018, you might remember, I was out in my yard and I was weed whacking and I fell weed whacking the ditch. And I put my hand out to break my fall. And it did. It broke my fall. And then when my body fell on it and crushed it, it broke my wrist in two different places. And oh, what an agonizing experience that was. As a Friday night, I went to the ER and they set it and wrapped it like that. And they said, well, you're fortunate. I think they said lucky. You're fortunate because at least they're all lined up and you won't have to have it adjusted, anything like that. We can just wrap it. You'll have to go in Monday and see a bone doctor or whatever and go and see him. So I said, okay. So I went through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That was pretty miserable. I went in on Monday and I saw the doctor and they took an x-ray and they said, we're going to have to reset that. It's not lined up like they thought it was. You know what was worse than the break? Was the resetting of it. Some of you have been there, haven't you? You know what's going on. I'm laying on that table, laying flat on my back, and my arm's crooked at the elbow there, and one nurse is holding my arm down right here while the doctor begins to pull my body's coming up off that table. And just pull on that thing and pull it and line it up and get it in the right place. That was 2016, 2018. Now we're in 2020. You figure the math here? You see what's going on? So this quarantine is nothing new for me. I've been living in a bubble since January 1st. All right, I've been staying in the house. I don't go anywhere. I'm getting through 2020 and get through the... I'm just kidding. I'm not doing that. But you know what those things do for me? They give me compassion on other people that go through it. Before that, I've never had broken bones. 60 years old when my knees, that happened. I've never had a broken bone. You know, hey, get up, get moving, get going. What's the big deal? Now I have compassion. Now I have comfort. Don't get it the hard way. Now I don't know that God gave that to me because of that or that thing, but I'm just saying this. Learn how to comfort others in what they're going through, even if we can't relate to it. So that we don't have to learn what it is to be a comfort to someone else. Comfort, the Bible says, I like this verse, and the older I get, the more I like it. Comfort the feeble-minded. I like that verse. And please remember that. When you're dealing with me in years to come, all right? We're to be a blessing and an encouragement, a comfort through the times of trial, through the times of difficulty. We are to be a comfort one to another. That's what we do to someone while they're going through the storm. We comfort them. We don't chastise them. There might be a time for that later. But while we're going through the storm, we comfort one another. What does the Bible say in 1 Thessalonians 4? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What were those words? That the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Writing to the church at Thessalonica, experiencing great persecution for their faith. And Paul says, don't worry about it. Comfort one another with these words. Would you turn to Psalm 23? Psalm 23. Think about this idea of comfort and God being the strength of our comfort. You're familiar with Psalm 23. You know exactly what it is. In verse 4, the shepherd says this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they what? They comfort me. When we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, when we're going through times of trial and tribulation, the psalmist says, I'll have no fear. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what we need to learn to do? We need to learn to look to God for comfort. Just like we turn the TV on for the press conference or this or that, we need to learn to turn it on to God and say, God, I need your comfort. In a world that's going nuts and insane and crazy around me, God, I need your comfort and your peace. Again, I'm not talking about rebelling against what's going on or what's, but our comfort isn't going to come from those things. It's only going to come from God. Thou, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Look here in Psalms, if you're there, look at Psalm 119, that great long psalm in the book of Psalms. Psalm 119, again, out of 172 verses, all but two of them mention the words of the Lord to some extent. His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, whatever they might be. And in Psalm 119, in verse number 50, Psalm 119 and verse 50, the psalmist wrote this, "This is my comfort in my affliction." See, that's what comfort is all about. Comfort is what we need in the midst of the trial, the tribulation, and the affliction. And that comfort's got to come from God. Not from Bildad. Not from Zophar. Those friends of Job, they didn't come from that. It's got to come from God. So the strength of our comfort is in the Lord. We can take that opportunity to point others toward Him. Our hope is in God. He is our comfort. Go back then, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4, He's our comfort. He's the source of our comfort. He's the strength of our comfort. Then we see He is our consolation. Verse 5 to 7. "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." Can you see that consolation follows the suffering? In the midst of suffering, there's to be comfort. At the end of suffering, there's consolation. The sufferings of Christ, as they abound in us, Paul said, we go through this and we go through that. So our consolation, so the benefit of the suffering, so the end result of the suffering, so we might say the reward of the trial, the reward of the suffering, also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation. Paul's saying what we go through now, we go through with the end result that we and you can be consoled, can receive consolation by the trials that we're going through. From the human standpoint, again, so many are saying, 10 years from now, we'll look back at 2020. And we'll look at the situations we were in. We were out the last Sunday night before all this began to take place. I think it was Brother Saka and his wife, Missionary Michael Saka and his wife were with us. I believe that's who it was, on a Sunday evening service. And we took them to Burger King. We were sitting in the lounge. That was the night, I think, that was the day that they said all these things were going to be shut down the next day. So we knew this is our last chance to sit down inside. In fact, they were even closing early that night after church, so we had to get out early. But we were sitting in there, and this thought just came upon my mind, and here we are in a restaurant sitting down eating. This isn't going to happen again for who knows how long. Last night, Sonia and I were up visiting the Edmonds, hour and a half away. Supper time came on the way back. It was about 7 o'clock. We got hungry. We pulled into a place. We got our food. We sat in the car and ate. It's just not the same. And I wondered that night sitting with the Sockets there, I wondered if 10, 20 years from now, we're not going to tell our children. I remember in the days where we used to actually go into a restaurant and sit down and eat there. And he said, well, that's going to happen again. Well, it probably will, but just humor me for a minute. We're just sitting. I remember the days. We'll tell our grandkids. I remember when we used to go sit in the restaurant. 50 people would be in there sitting together eating at one time. And they'll say, really, Grandpa? All those people in one place at one time sitting together eating food? Man, that must have been disgusting. One of these days we're going to look back at all those things. What are we going to say? What are we going to remember? What will be our consolation? My challenge to you right now is simply this. We're going through difficult times. There's no doubt about it. It's not going to get better tomorrow or next week from everything everybody's saying. And again, there's only one person that knows, and that's God. But in the midst of all this, can we just be comforted by the fact that if we endure these sufferings, if we can call it that, I mean, compared to what Paul went through and all those things, if we can call this suffering, remember this, there will be a consolation at the end, and we'll look back with a good conscience. We'll look back with a clean slate that we were faithful to God. And I don't just mean by being in the church building. I'm not judging those that don't do it. But just knowing that we did the right things and what we should have done at the right time, regardless of anything else, because God is our comfort and God is our consolation. Verse number 6. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. It says that twice. For your consolation and salvation. Sometimes the things we go through. Loss of loved ones. Facing tremendous difficulties and trials in our life. And we say, God, why? And if you haven't asked that question, it's because you're young enough that you haven't gotten there yet. Because most of us have all come to a place in our life where we're saying, God, why? Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? And the Bible says it's for others, not only our consolation, but the consolation and the salvation of other people. I'm reading a story right now, two missionaries in the Philippines in 2001. Martin and Gracia Burnham. They were with Missionary Aviation Fellowship, I think is what they're called, MAF. They were pilots there. On their 14th anniversary, their 14th wedding anniversary, they went from Mindanao, where they've been serving for 8 years. They went to the island of Palawan, which is a very touristy island, and they stayed in Dos Palmos, a resort, for one night. And this was the only... These are missionary people. They couldn't afford that. It was $200 to spend one night in this place, and they scrimped and they saved so they could spend their 14th anniversary after many years on the mission field, have a nice anniversary that night, and they went and stayed in this beautiful luxury resort with all these rich Chinese people and people from Thailand and all these others. They were included in that group. For one night, they felt like all these upper-class people. At 2 o'clock in the morning, Abu Sayyaf came and one of them took all those people away. For the next year, they were taken back to Mindanao, to the Muslim part of that island, and they were dragged through the jungles trying to hide from people. Their captors were trying to get ransoms for them, and they endured all those things through all that time. And they went through all these tragedies, and Gracia is the one that's writing with another writer, writing the book about all they endured and all that her and her husband went through and just the terrible things that we can't imagine going through. They watched as others were beheaded. They watched as one of the young 14-year-old girls was given away to one of the men of the Abu Sayyaf as his wife. And they had to watch these things. They became a close-knit group of people. Long story short, by the end, by the time the government forces were able to surround them and rescue them, Martin, the missionary, was shot and killed. And you read, I close that book. I haven't finished it yet, but I've read it before several years ago, so I know what's coming. But you close that book and you sit there and you look at God and say, God, why? Here's a man that's given his life in service for you. There's a testimony in there about his childhood and upbringing and his wife's childhood and upbringing. And you look at it, and it doesn't make sense that a man like that, with three young children when this all happened, is now into eternity and his wife and his children behind. It doesn't make any sense. You need God for comfort. You need God for consolation. You know what the consolation is? Multitudes of people that have come to Christ as their Savior because of the story of Martin Burnham. His sacrifice, his devotion, going through, giving up and going through things that you and I would never imagine doing. And yet the end result of that was the way it was. And many have come to Christ. I think of those five missionaries killed in Ecuador in 1956. And we've seen the movies and read the stories. Why does God allow these things to happen? Because it's for your consolation and salvation. The things that happen to us happen for a reason. The things that happen to our state, our nation, our world, our earth, all happen for a reason. And right now, you know what that reason is? To point everybody toward God. To realize He is our comfort. To realize He is going to be our consolation. And that we look to Him. Can I challenge you in this time? It should be all time, shouldn't it? Are these tumultuous moments any different? Shouldn't we turn to God all the time? Shouldn't He be our comfort in everything? And my challenge this morning is Paul writes this 2,000 years ago in the situation that he lived in and yet so applicable to us not only today but every day of our life. Look to God because He is your comfort. When no one else can be, He can be your comfort. And He will be, folks, He will be your consolation. You might not see it now. Now we look through a glass darkly. We don't understand everything. But one of these days, face to face, we'll receive our consolation. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.